log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/EM.
Ocean of Dua.
ثم إني أسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Hello everyone, dear listeners, brothers and sisters, I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Rarsi, and we're gonna be with you with another edition of The Ocean of Dua. In this version of the program, inshallah, we will discuss the true meaning of prayer and dua, the value of prayer, ways of reaching the Almighty Allah, acceptance and also benefits of dua. So stay with us.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil
Within the previous programs, dear listeners, we tried to cover different aspects of this supplication, this rich heritage of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. And within the recent programs, we tried to talk about the reality of love and the importance of it in our du'as. Now, you may have noticed that we tried to recite and read to you, dear listeners, different parts of different supplications. Since we have incredible riches of supplications in the narrations of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, and we have in these supplications really subtle concepts, specifically in the whispered prayers transmitted to us from them, and we always should try to take benefit from them. And this is highly because of the companions of the A'immah, since these companions used to display extreme keenness in recording what the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam would impart to them in front of the others.
رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ.
I remember Sayyid ibn Tawus mentions in one of his books regarding the prayers attributed to Imam Musa Kazim alayhi salam, that Abdullah bin Zayd was among the companions of Imam Kazim alayhi salam. And this Abdullah bin Zayd reports that there was a group from among the special companions of Imam Kazim alayhi salam, from his family members and followers, who used to attend his sittings while they had within their cloaks straight and bent tablets, made of hard black wood. And if he uttered a word or gave a verdict on legal issues, they would record what they heard from him. And interestingly, of the other things Abdullah bin Zayd has reported is what they heard from Imam alayhi salam saying in his prayer, and then he mentioned the famous supplication of Jawshan al-Saghir narrated from Musa bin Ja'far alayhi salam. We're not going to discuss the sources of supplications in the heritage of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam in detail. So let me just go further on and start another aspect, and of course different questions regarding divine decree and destiny and the relationship between these two and supplication and dua. So brothers and sisters, you already know that there is a divine decree and destiny with regard to each and everything that happens in this universe. And it is such that there is no way for man to refrain from it, as it is irrevocable divine will. So the question that comes into our minds is that in this case, what is the position of supplication in relation to this divine will? Does supplication change something which has been subjected to the invariable will of Allah? Does supplication actually change something in His knowledge, subhanahu wa ta'ala? And what actually is the benefit of supplication if it cannot alter the definite divine decree and destiny? Actually, if supplication has a role in changing the divine decree and destiny, then how is this thing accomplished?
Why do we make supplication? And why do we call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it because God is not aware of our needs? God is Al-Alim. He knows all of our needs. Is it because God needs convincing? God is known as Al-Jawad. He is the source of generosity. Then why am I making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The dua is a journey of realizations. When a person goes to the ocean and he takes with him a bucket that can carry 4 liters of water, the ocean is infinite. In as much as your vessel is large, that is the amount of water that the ocean will give you. And therefore, our goal is to expand our capacity. Rumi has a very beautiful poem. He says, "Har khujo mushkil javab onjo ravad." Wherever there is a problem, that is where the answer will come. Har khujo keshti ab onjo ravad. Wherever there is a vessel, that's where the water will come. Ab kamju tishnagi avar bedas. Don't go seeking for water. Instead, create the thirst within you. Ta beju shad ab az bala bas. So that the water may burst forth from above and from below you. Experience that realization that you need God, and the mercy of God will come towards you. Paradise, thank you Allah. Now that we're here, feeling so good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God is pleased with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true, and we know we'll be here forever.
The ocean of dua.
So in order to answer this important question, it seems necessary to enter into the issue of divine decree and destiny, and we have to also talk about the issue of bada, since talking about this issue in details might actually take us away from our current discussion regarding supplication. We will not actually talk about the philosophical complexities of the issue, and we will move further on talking about it lightly and briefly. So in order to start, we know the law of causality, or the so-called Aliyya, which operates in the course of history as well as in the universe in form of a general and an irrevocable law. And for this law, there is no exception. Some of the Quranic verses actually talk about this law of causality. The verses that say, indeed Allah does what He desires. Indeed, your Lord does whatever He desires. Or in another verse, the Holy Quran says, if He wishes, He will take you away, O mankind, and bring others in your place. So, the Holy Quran is actually replete with these verses and the like of them, and they are clear in that Allah the Exalted has the absolute power over the universe. So let it be the beginning of our discussion over this important question related to Qadha and Qadar. Thank you for staying with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
In the limelight. A study released recently by Barcelona's Hospital del Mar, looking at the impact of the spring's COVID-19 surge on more than 9,000 healthcare workers across Spain, found that at least 28% suffered major depression. Dr. Jordi Alonso, one of the chief researchers, said that it is 6 times higher than the rate in the general population before the pandemic. We now present you a news report written by Renato Brito. The piece is titled Spain's Virus Surge Hits Mental Health of Frontline Workers. The news report has been published by the Associated Press News Agency. Please stay with us for more of Renato Brito's news report. The unrelenting increase in COVID-19 infections in Spain following the holiday season is again straining hospitals, threatening the mental health of doctors and nurses who have been at the forefront of the pandemic for nearly a year. In Barcelona's Hospital del Mar, the critical care capacity has more than doubled and is nearly full, with 80% of the intensive care unit beds occupied by coronavirus patients. Dr. José Ramón Masclans, who heads the intensive care unit, said, there are young people of 20-something years old and older people of 80 years old, all the age groups, he added. This is very difficult and it is one patient after another. Even though authorities allowed gatherings of up to 10 people for Christmas and the New Year celebrations, Dr. José Masclans chose not to join his family and spent the holidays at home with his friend. He said, we did it to preserve our health and the health of others. And when you see that this isn't being done by others, it causes significant anger added to the fatigue. A study released recently by Hospital del Mar in Barcelona, looking at the impact of the spring's COVID-19 surge on more than 9,000 healthcare workers across Spain, found that at least 28% suffered from major depression. Dr. Jordi Alonso, one of the chief researchers, said that it is 6 times higher than the rate in the general population before the pandemic. In addition, the study found that nearly half of the participants had a high risk of anxiety, a high risk of post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, panic attacks, or substance and alcohol abuse problems. Spanish healthcare workers are far from the only ones to have suffered psychologically from the coronavirus pandemic. According to the World Health Organization, WHO, in China, the levels of mental disorders among doctors and nurses were even higher, with 50% reporting depression, 45% reporting anxiety, and 34% reporting insomnia. In the United Kingdom, a survey released recently by the Royal College of Physicians found that 64% of British doctors reported feeling tired or exhausted. 1 in 4 sought out mental health support. Dr. Andrew Goddard, president of the Royal College of Physicians, said in a statement accompanying the study, "It is pretty awful at the moment in the world of medicine." The statement added, "Hospital admissions are at their highest ever level. Staff are exhausted. And although there is light at the end of the tunnel, that light seems a long way away." Dr. Alex Carmona, a third-year anesthesiology resident in Spain's northeastern region of Catalonia, didn't have much intensive care unit experience before the coronavirus pandemic hit. But as surgeries were cancelled, Dr. Alex Carmona was summoned to the intensive care unit at the Moises Brogui Hospital outside Barcelona to fight a virus the world knew very little about. Dr. Carmona recalled, "In the beginning, we had a lot of adrenaline. We were very frightened, but we had a lot of energy." He plowed through the first weeks of the pandemic without having much time to process the unprecedented battle that was unfolding. It wasn't until after the second month that Dr. Alex Carmona began feeling the toll of seeing firsthand how people were slowly dying as they ran out of breath. He pondered what to tell patients before intubating them. His initial reaction had always been to reassure them, tell them it will be all right, but in some cases he knew that wasn't true. Dr. Carmona said, "I started having difficulty sleeping and a feeling of anxiety before each shift," adding, "I would return home after 12 hours feeling like I had been beaten up." For a while, he could only sleep with the help of medication. Some colleagues started taking antidepressants and anti-anxiety drugs. What really helped Carmona, though, was a support group at his hospital, where his co-workers unloaded the experiences they had bottled up inside. But not everyone joined the group, for many asking for help would make them seem unfit for the job. David Oliver, a spokesman for the Catalonia chapter of the SATSA Union of Nurses, said, "In our profession, we can handle a lot." He added, "We don't want to take time off because we know we will add to the workload of our colleagues." According to the study, the most affected group of healthcare workers were nurses' aides and nurses, who are overwhelmingly women and often immigrants. They spent more time with dying COVID-19 patients facing poor working conditions and salaries and feared infecting their family members. Desiree Ruiz is the nurse supervisor at Hospital del Mar in Barcelona, in Barcelona's critical care unit. Some nurses on her team have asked to take time off work unable to cope with the constant stress and all the deaths in the hospital. To prevent infections, patients are rarely allowed family visits, adding to their dependency on nurses. Desiree Ruiz said delivering a patient's last wishes or words to relatives on the phone is especially challenging. She said, "This is very hard for people who are holding the hand of these patients, even though they know they will end up dying." Desiree Ruiz, who organizes the nurses' shifts and makes sure the intensive care unit is always staffed adequately, is finding it harder and harder to do so. Unlike in the summer, when the number of cases fell and healthcare workers were encouraged to take their holidays, doctors and nurses have been working incessantly since autumn, when coronavirus cases picked up again. The latest resurgence has nearly doubled the number of daily cases seen in November, and Spain now has the third highest COVID-19 infection rate in Europe and the fourth highest death toll in Europe, with more than 50,400 confirmed fatalities. But unlike many European countries, including neighboring Portugal, the Spanish health minister has for now ruled out the possibility of a new lockdown, relying instead on less drastic restrictions that aren't as damaging to Spain's economy, but take longer to decrease the rate of infections. Dr. Jordi Alonso fears the latest surge of coronavirus patients could be as detrimental to the mental health of medical staff as the shock of the pandemic's first months. He said, "If we want to be cared for adequately, we also need to take care of the healthcare workers who have suffered and are still suffering."
ارزش‌ها و صفاتی که انسان احترام می‌گذاره، همه این ارزش‌ها در علی ابن ابی طالب جمعه.
Human in general, whether a Muslim, non-Muslim, or even a disbeliever, respect the values present in the character of Ali ibn Abi Talib.
لا يقيم أمر الله سبحانه إلا من لا يصانع ولا يضارع ولا يتبع المطامع.
Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, the reason we love him as our hero, or not only in the material sense, in the spiritual sense, in the leadership sense.
Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. The program's To My Brother, and I'm your host, Mehdi. We're talking about the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Please stay with us. Imam Ali alayhi salam, the most distinguished and extraordinary personality in Islam after the Holy Prophet Muhammad. His entire life is a struggle for the advancement of Islam, the universal religion prescribed by Allah for all of humanity. Imam Ali alayhi salam was the living miracle raised up by the Holy Prophet Muhammad himself, and was not only the successor and the executor of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, but as history testifies, he was also a great human being, a brave defender of Islam, a just and fair judge, a generous philanthropist, a champion of the people, and the most pious person of his time.
Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters in faith. Welcome to this segment of To My Brother, I'm Muhammad. And today, I'm going to read to you an aphorism of Imam Ali from Nahjul Balagha. Before that, let's go ahead and listen to the Arabic words, and after that, I'm going to read you the English translation. Stay with us.
قال أمير المؤمنين علي عليه السلام الوفاء لأهل الغدر غدر عند الله والغدر بأهل الغدر وفاء عند الله
Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salam said, "Faithfulness with faithless people is faithlessness with Allah, while faithlessness with faithless people is faithfulness with Allah."
Welcome back, dear friends. It's great to have you with us. This is IRIB English Radio, the program's To My Brother, and we were discussing the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam. So one of the things which we learn from Imam Ali alayhi salam, the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam, is the fact that he was the most brave person of his time, and that it is very interesting, but many of the qualities and beautiful things about Imam Ali were only made known after his martyrdom. It is narrated from Ahmad ibn Hanbal, who is the imam, the leader of the Hanbali sect of Sunni Muslims, which also happens to be the smallest sect of Sunni Muslims, and it also happens to be concentrated in Saudi Arabia for the most part. Ahmad ibn Hanbal has written that following the martyrdom of his father, Hassan ibn Ali, made a speech in which he said, "O people, yesterday an honorable man departed from among you and rushed to the hereafter." He's talking about Imam Ali, "who was unrivaled among the former nations, and the future generations too will fail to comprehend him. For any time the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings upon him, sent Ali to a battle, he was accompanied by Jibrail, Gabriel on the right side, and Mikael, Michael, on the left side, and Ali would not return from the battlefield until he achieved victory." And so in this very beautiful tradition, which we find written by the Sunni scholar and imam of the Hanbalis, Ahmad ibn Hanbal, we find that Imam Ali alayhi salam was unrivaled among the people before him, and he was unrivaled, and also the generations to come would not be able to comprehend him. this was the awesomeness and the might of Imam Ali, surely a role model for all people in all times. And furthermore, that Imam Ali would go to the battlefield and would always return victorious. This victory, dear friends, stems from bravery and courage, but first and foremost, it stems from faith, iman, and certainty, yaqeen. One who has faith and certainty in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always victorious, just as we find Imam Ali, peace and blessings upon him, was always victorious. Another profound lesson brought to us all by the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
For the protection of the day when property will not avail, nor sons except he who comes with a heart free from evil. And I ask you for protection on the day when the unjust one will bite his hands, saying, "Oh, would that I had taken away with the messenger." For protection on the day when the guilty shall be recognized by their marks, so they shall be seized by the forelocks and the feet. For protection on the day when a father shall not give any satisfaction for his son, nor shall the child give any satisfaction for his father. Surely the promise of Allah is true.
تبقى عيني بدمع مشتاقيا قد لسعت حية الهوى كبدي فلا تبيب لها ولا راغي
And now we invite you to listen to Sayyid Ali Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, about the personality of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
تمام ارزش ها و صفاتی که انسان چه به عنوان انسان مؤمن به اسلام چه به عنوان انسان مؤمن به هر دینی
human in general whether a muslim non-muslim or even a disbeliever respect the values present in the character of Ali ibn Abi Talib this means Ali ibn Abi Talib is a global character who is respected by Sunnis, Shias, and even non-Muslims. Everyone, even the faithless people, respect Imam Ali and his personal values.
IRIB English Radio. You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Now we invite you to listen to Brother Hassanain Rajabali.
Why should we be proud? You will notice human nature is to worship heroes. Hero worship is common. People go to watch movies because they love to watch heroes. Comic book shops sell all those fantasy stories because we love to worship heroes. Hero worship is a natural phenomenon. But all of that is fantasy. It's not real. Such people don't exist. Superman doesn't exist. Spider-Man doesn't exist. They don't exist. And even if you're talking about great kings that came, they were false in many ways in their character. They were not good role models. But Imam Ali alayhi wasalam, the one who dislodges such personalities, yet he was so humble. So humble, so down to earth that you and I need to follow. I'll give you a simple example. One example you find is, many a times you and I notice when we give charity with strings attached. And when we give it, we make people feel bad. You know, when you do Allah's work, it's very hard to go to people and say, give a few dollars for Allah's work. They feel they're doing a big thing for Allah. And in their minds, Surah Yasin mentions that, I'll talk about it some other time. In their minds they're saying, why does God want me to contribute when He's so rich He can contribute Himself? Look at this notion. So we have strings attached when we give charity and we make people feel bad.
Dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed this episode of To My Brother. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.com. We leave you in Allah's care. Bye for now.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, medium wave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 41 meters, 7,300 kilohertz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iransat or Bat 5 and via the Internet. Our Internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
The Gate of Knowledge. Exegesis and interpretations of the supremely eloquent sermons, letters, and sayings of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him.
You're listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Was salatu was salamu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin. Dear listeners to IRIB English Radio, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome you all to this episode of The Gate of Knowledge, where we are discussing about the sermons and letters and sayings of Imam Ali alayhi salam. We are discussing about the Sermon of the Pious People, the sermon number 184 in Nahjul Balagha, where Imam Ali alayhi salam describes the qualities of those who are pious. One of those qualities that he describes is the quality of contentment of the soul. And he says that you will see that a pious person is one who is qani'at al-nafsu, whose state of the soul is in a state of contentment. He is content with whatever he has. And we have explained in depth what is the meaning of contentment and all of those discussions, the theoretical discussions that we had in the past. And together with that, of course, some of the questions were answered of the relationship between contentment and progress and many other things. Previously, we started the discussion of the fact that contentment is actually one of those things that leads to a very good state within and also in the society. So a person reaches a state of peace inside his heart, and also the society reaches a state of peace, because everyone suffices to their needs, and therefore there is no you know, there's no fighting, there's no conflict, there's no dispute between people so as to, for example, take what another person has. So a person doesn't long for what is in someone else's hands and tries to steal it or things like that. And this is a state of peace that the society achieves. And of course, this is the result of that internal state of happiness that a person has as a result of contentment.
You are listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio, a program that presents a detailed commentary of Peak of Eloquence from the Master of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him.
Now, when you talk about the issue of not having conflicts within, we also discussed the idea that when a person enters into conflict and starts to dispute, and you know, when he, because of the lack of contentment that he has inside him, and because of that greed, if a person starts to conflict with others, and or has conflicts within himself and outside also with people, what happens is that the important resources that God has given him get lost and get destroyed. And this is exactly the plan of Shaitan. That the plan of Shaitan is by making things look beautiful for a person so that he loses that very important resource that he has, the resource of time and the resource of his energy and his heart and his soul and his beliefs. And if you notice, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran also says, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ قُلْ هَلْ نُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِالْأَخْسَرِينَ أَعْمَالًا الَّذِينَ ضَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, do you want me to tell you who is the worst of person, who is the greatest of losers in terms of his actions? He says it is that person who, struggled in this world, you know. All of his efforts got wasted, but he thought that he's doing a good deed. He thought he's achieving perfection. You see? But this is what happens, that greed, when a person, you know, starts to look for these material things beyond what is his need, as a result of it looking beautiful and it looking good and it being palatable to his existence, he follows those things and gets lost in looking for those things. Or for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, أَفَمَنْ زُيِّنَ لَهُ سُوءُ عَمَلِهِ فَرَآهُ حَسَنًا. Haven't you seen that person who we have beautified for him his bad deeds, and he thinks that they are good deeds. You see, this is another very dangerous situation. And this happens as a result of sometimes because of what Shaitan does, what the devil does. Because Shaitan, one of his tricks and one of his most important tools is this beautification. As he says in the Holy Quran, قَالَ رَبِّ بِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي لَأُزَيِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Oh Allah, Shaitan says, because of you misguiding me, I will make it beautiful for them in this world. And that is the plan that he has.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
Now, we notice that what Shaitan would do, therefore, is to make things look beautiful for a person so that he wastes his efforts struggling for them, looking for them. And this is actually what is greed. Inside the heart, a human being wants perfection, infinite perfection. And that is the actual need. But by shaitan making other things look beautiful for men makes that internal thirst and urge to be satisfied in the wrong direction. And therefore, he starts to earn those things, starts to look for those things and goes after them, thinking that that is going to be actually a source of his progress. In fact, this is in one of the advices that Luqman gives to his son. He says, وَقْنَعْ بِقِسْمِ اللَّهِ لِيَصْفُ عَيْشُكْ فَإِنْ أَرَدْتَ أَمْ تَجْمَعَ إِزَّ الدُّنْيَا فَقْطَعْ طَمَعَكَ فِي أَيْدِ النَّاسِ. Luqman tells his son that if you are content, in fact he tells him, be content with what Allah has distributed for you so that your life becomes good and peaceful and enjoyable. And if you want to earn the honor of this world, then cut yourself from the greed of what people have in their hands. Cut yourself of that greed. Inshallah, we will discuss about this advice that Luqman gave to his son in more depth in the next session. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome, on the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
Evidence that a variant of the coronavirus identified in South Africa might compromise immunity sparks concerns about vaccine effectiveness, says Evan Calloway, researcher, in an article published under the heading, Fast-spreading COVID variant can elude immune responses. Stay tuned for the details, please. Evidence is growing that some coronavirus variants could evade immune responses triggered by vaccines and previous infections. Researchers are trying to make sense of a tsunami of lab studies released recently that raise concerns about some emerging variants and mutations. Some of the data I've seen in the last 48 hours have really scared me, says Daniel Altman, an immunologist at Imperial College London, who worries that some of the results could portend a reduction in the effectiveness of COVID-19 vaccines. But the picture is murky, Altman and other scientists emphasize. The studies, which examined the blood of a small numbers of people who had recovered from COVID-19 or received a vaccine, probed only their antibodies' capacity to neutralize variants in lab tests, and not the wider effects of other components of their immune response. Neither do the studies indicate whether the changes in antibody activity make any difference to the real-world effectiveness of vaccines or the likelihood of reinfection. Are these changes going to be important? I really don't know, says Paul Business, a virologist at Rockefeller University in New York City, who co-led one of the studies. Much of the concern centers around a variant that researchers identified in South Africa in late 2020. A team led by Tulio do Oliveira, a bioinformatician at the University of KwaZulu-Natal in Durban, South Africa, linked the variant called 501Y.V2 to a fast-growing epidemic in Eastern Cape Province that has since spread across South Africa and into other countries. The lineage carries many mutations in the SARS-CoV-2 spike protein, the immune system's prime target, which allows the virus to identify and infect host cells, including some changes linked to weakened antibody activity against the virus. The Eastern Cape was hit hard by South Africa's first COVID-19 wave, and researchers wondered whether the rapid spread of 501Y.V2 could be partly explained by its ability to elude previously established immune responses. To investigate this, Do Oliveira, virologist Alex Sigal at the Africa Health Research Institute in Durban, and other colleagues isolated 501Y.V2 viruses from people infected with the variant. They then tested the variant samples against serum, the antibody-containing portion of blood taken from 6 people who had recovered from COVID-19 caused by other versions of the virus. This convalescent serum tends to contain neutralizing or virus-blocking antibodies that can prevent infection. The researchers found that the convalescent serum was much worse at neutralizing 501Y.V2 than at neutralizing variants that circulated earlier in the pandemic. Some people's plasma performed better against 501Y.V2 than did others, but in all cases, the neutralizing power was substantially weakened. It's extremely worrying. In a separate study, a team led by virologist Penny Moore at the National Institute for Communicable Diseases and the University of Witwatersrand in Johannesburg, South Africa, probed the effects of convalescent serum on various combinations of spike mutations found in 501Y.V2. They did this using a pseudovirus, a modified form of HIV that infects cells using the SARS-CoV-2 spike protein. These experiments showed that 501Y.V2 contains mutations that blunt the effects of neutralizing antibodies that recognize two key regions of a spike, its receptor binding and N-terminal domains. Pseudoviruses with the full package of 501Y.V2 mutations were fully resistant to convalescent serum from 21 out of 44 participants and were partly resistant to the vast majority of people's sera, Moore's team found. There is now proof of several reinfections with 501Y.V2 in South Africa, says Do Oliveira. It seems increasingly likely that the variant's ability to spread in places hit hard by earlier